That was, Paul, that was a win for depth, wasn't it?
It was, Jeff. And, you know, you look at the game, I'm sure Dwayne Casey will review the video today. He's reviewed it last night, knowing Case being up till the hours of the morning. And it's one of those, you look at it, where things didn't always go the way you wanted it. The road, they were missed assignments. They weren't extremely sharp, but you can live with it because you got away with the win. And I just say it. I mean, that if it was, the result was, you know, the other way. If you lose that one, you look at it and you say, ah, that's one that got away. Now it's one that you got, even though you weren't playing your best. So it was a good start. I like your idea, and it's true about the depth. Seven guys in double figures, everybody doing a little bit. You know, it's almost better to have that than at times one guy leading you. We used to laugh at that all the time. I'm the guy with 40.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more leery of the guy that has 20, but he's got 10 assists, because now all these other guys are involved. I don't have to stop one guy. I got to stop a whole bunch of them, and that's what happened last night with Toronto.
And you know, Paul, that was, with all due respect to DeMar DeRozan, that was exactly the type of game he would not been able to have played 3 years ago.
No. And look, you know, we're done talking about DeMar's offense and, you know, learning to drip and like, it's not about offense for him now.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's an elite scorer in the NBA. Go and look at last year, free throw attempts, and look at the guys he was in front of. Westbrook, and like, he was in front of star players.
Mm-hmm.
He's in that echelon right now. There's no question about that. To become an elite player, you need to play the other end of the floor. You need to be able to stop somebody. There were instances last night, more so with big men that I saw, Amir Johnson a couple times, Patrick Patterson, just great individual one-on-one defense on Millsap as he tried to get to the hoop, on Horford. And it's not, we're not double teaming. We're not going to force the ball out of your hands and get into rotation where Jeff Teague can run by us. We're going to guard our own men. And mm-hmm. you hear the phrase, guard a yard, guard your own man, like one step in either direction multiple times. And that's all you have to do if you're going to be a good defensive team, because that way you don't have to rotate. And he did that last night really, really well with some of the big guys.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. How surprised were you, and I know a lot of us in press row were, but how surprised were you when Tyler Hansbrough was the first guy off the bench, the first big off the bench?
Well, a little bit, but at the same time, he's a guy that knows the system. Where do you go? Maybe he's mm-hmm. earned that. You know, we're not in practice all the time. Maybe you reward that. And Millsap's he's a tough guy. He handles the ball a little bit on the outside. You know, maybe it's a Patrick Patterson matchup. Maybe mm-hmm. it's a James Johnson matchup. But maybe you don't go to that right away. You see if one of the other guys can do it. You save that look. You keep it in your pocket for when you need it. Maybe later. Maybe not even later in this game. Maybe later in the year.
Well, and the other thing too, Paul, I thought, and it was Mike Kareen of The Sun, you know, sent that out on Twitter, and we were all, I think a lot of us were thinking the same thing, but I talked to Tyler after the game, and you know, I think maybe what Dwayne saw, there were a couple of instances where I thought DeMar was getting pushed around, there were a couple of calls he didn't get. Dwayne may have just thought, you know what, we've got an opposing team coming in here, making a bit of a physical statement. You know, I'm going to put a guy in there, reputation alone. Tyler Hansbrough changes the tone of the game. Tyler Hansbrough's like, that's like the indication that, okay, we understand what you're doing. Here's our guy. And have at it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Jeff, because everybody needs a guy that's going to protect people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've said it for years about Blake Griffin. Back in the day, it was Charles Oakley protecting Michael Jordan. And when Oakley came to Toronto and Vince Carter was here, you don't think that was one of his jobs? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's a definite possibility. And, you know, sometimes you adjust to the game. Yeah, DeMar's not getting a call, as you said. Put somebody in there that'll let the other team know, you know, exactly what you're doing.
Dwayne Casey made a point before this game that the Hawks are, they tend to fly under the radar, no pun intended. I mean, they made the playoffs, what, 7 years in a row?
Longest streak in the East.
Longest streak in the East. Paul Millsap is a terrific player. I mean, and with Al Horford back, they may be one team that a lot of us have overlooked. And for that reason, you know, and I'm watching the matchups the Hawks are running out there against the Raptors, I got to think, if you're a head coach, that's kind of the way you want to start your season. You know, everybody would like to start the season, I guess, with a 40-point blowout. But me, I'd kind of rather match up against somebody I may be seeing in another important game down the stretch. And it's early in the year. My guys aren't hitting on all cylinders. I've discovered some things about some guys in my team. You know, I discovered that Lou Williams is the guy he was for me in the preseason.
Yeah, no question, Jeff. The Spurs, the Hawks are very Spurs-like when you talk about, you know, the way they play. They had last year on 13 occasions, they had more than 30 assists in a game. They had 26 last night. They have great ball movement. Budenholzer is a Popovich disciple. I remember even hearing comments from LeBron last year about, you know, how the Hawks were running a number of sets similar to what San Antonio did. Mm-hmm. I mean, all you do is look at their ball movement. And the one thing that Toronto was able to do last night was turn them over, because I believe both teams had 26 assists. The Raptors were able to, you know, turn them over and get out and beat them in transition. And they scored off Atlanta.
Yeah, they had 23 points off 19 turnovers, so they took advantage of it.
And that's especially live ball turnovers, you know, when you turn it over and it creates a 2-on-1, a 3-on-2, even an open floor, a broken floor, 3-on-3, where there's driving lanes and space and where guys can get to the basket or get to the free throw line. So, I like what Toronto did last night. And like I said, the fact that they weren't totally sharp, they played well, but they weren't totally sharp. Dwayne Casey will see some things that have to be cleaned up. I saw some things that have to be cleaned up. But you get away with it, you get a win, and you can move on. It's not one of those games you look at and go, oh, boy, we need to have that one back. We let one get away.
Do you read anything into the fact that Jonas Valanciunas wasn't on the court down the stretch, crunch time?
Matchups, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Patterson gives you the better, I guess, against the three-point shooter. He gives you the better defense.
And that's where the depth comes in. You know, off the top of our conversation here, you said it was a win for depth. You know, you need a guy who can match up with a certain guy on the other team. Jonas had a hard time. He had two fouls in the first, you know, few minutes of the game. I would like to see Toronto use him on the other end. You know, he's not Shaquille O'Neal, but, you know, the thinking around Shaq was, well, we're going to put him in pick and roll on the defensive end, and we're going to get whatever we want. We're going to drive by him. If he backs up, we're going to get short jumpers. We're going to take advantage of him at the other end, at one end. Well, at the other end, it's because Shaq goes in the post and you just can't stop him. And the Raptors, I think, have that advantage or potentially have that advantage with Valanciunas this year if they're able to develop that. I mean, he scored 17 points last night?
Yeah.
He took five shots.
Yeah, exactly.
He took five shots and scored 17 points. So if they're able to, you know, get inside a bit and not just play total perimeter. I mean, they do get inside by getting in. They won points in the paint last night. You can drive it, but sometimes you just throw it into the big guy and just play old-fashioned smash-mouth basketball.
Paul, you've seen you're a day-one guy. I mean, you've seen these openers before. Where would you rate the crowd reaction to that opener? Kyle Lowry, after the game, Kyle was kind of blown away by the response he got when he walked to center court to do the address the crowd, which is something I really like, by the way. I'm a real big fan of that. I know some people kind of roll their eyes, but I like the fact that the first thing the Raptors did to start the regular season was reestablish a connection with their fans. I think it's such a smart thing to do. But Kyle said afterwards, the ovation when he started the talk, that was almost a playoff ovation.
You know, Jeff, and that was the feel we had last night, wasn't it? It had almost the same look. I don't think the crowd was quite as intense, but they were pretty intense. I mean, just relative to the playoffs. And that's always been my knock on the Toronto crowd. The two P's, they're present, but they don't always participate. And I saw something I have never seen in 20 years in Toronto last night. Late in the game, Atlanta was making a run. Raptors were bringing the ball forward toward their bench, and they were kind of leaking oil a little bit. And the fans got up and cheered. That's the kind of stuff that happens in Portland.
Yep.
It happened in Utah back in the day when Stockton and Malone were there.
Golden State has it.
Yes. Now we're getting, as you know, as Butch Carter said, we're getting an educated consumer. They understand now that it makes no sense to sit there and boo the guys. Get off your backside and encourage them. You catch more with honey than you do with vinegar. And I thought it was great. I rate it as one of, I would say, number two, maybe number two behind opening night. But for buzz, Jeff, it's number one. Mm. There has never been more buzz around a team than there is this year. And even in the year when, you know, they won a playoff series and they lost in seven, Vince missed the shot the next year, there was a huge buzz around that team. But the game's grown so much in the last 12, 13 years with the people on board. I think there's a bigger buzz around this team this year, and I just think that the fans have to be cautious, support the team, but you know what? They're going to lose a couple in a row. It's going to happen at some point where you lose two, three in a row. It's not a big deal. Go back and look at last year. You know, you lose one, you win three. You lose one, you win four. You lose two, you win three. You lose one, you win four. That's how they go. They might not be a 20-game winning streak, but if you're winning, you know, 11 of 15, you know, 12 of 14, stuff like that, you're going to be fine. And I think the crowd has to stay behind the team. It's easy to look at the other side, but stay behind the team. And they were fantastic last night. They were fantastic.
You get to see your baby brother this weekend.
He's doing UCLA in Arizona. And I think he lands in Miami at sometime around 3:00. Well, my mom's sending care package. So if you
there you go.
If you want to get your butt to the arena, if not, it'll be gone by the time you
Paul, listen, thanks for joining us today. Have safe travels down to Florida.
All right, Jeff. My pleasure, man.